If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. This weekend, the NFL on CBS is home to the divisional round. Saturday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Titans try to shock the world again when they head to Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Ravens. Then on Sunday at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, two of the game's elite young quarterbacks square off when Deshaun Watson and the Texans meet Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Both games begin with the NFL today on CBS. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Deshaun Watson with his miraculous comeback against the Bills, down 16 with a minute and a half left in the third. They won the game in overtime, and he broke free from a two-headed monster sack to throw a miracle pass and a huge gain, and they went down and kicked the game-winning field. It was all because of Deshaun Watson that they won that game. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money if you switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, Carver High, let's go back to these interviews we did and analyze the rule and judge hires. First of all, I guess the meeting went down, he said, in Waco at Rule's house that, remember, he never wanted to leave because he was so happy. And then you saw me today tweet that everyone's happy until someone gives him more money to be unhappy.
Especially the kind of money that he got.
I mean,
Look, I know that this guy's a billionaire, whatever this guy's deal is.
Temper.
I get all that. But to be fair, this guy has never been a head coach in the NFL before. I get it. He's been done unbelievable things at Temple and Baylor. Okay? And he's the hottest guy out there for 2 years now. Last year he was too, and he ended up staying. 6 years, $70 million. But for this guy, I guess it's a drop in the bucket. Who cares? He wanted to make sure he got the guy, and he gave him everything he could. Better hope it works out, I guess, or else he's just blowing, $60 or $70 million, whatever it is. I don't get the – I think it's a little too strong for somebody who's never
– Never done it.
Not only never done it, I mean, it's not like he's coming off two national championships.
But a lot of people say that he's, coached on, both sides of the ball. He's done defense, then offense. He's done it all, and he's been very successful. And I think the thing that is sketchy for me is the years that are involved
in
this deal.
Thing,
this guy's set for life now. He doesn't even have – if he fails and they fire him, they're going to pay him out. They had to pay $6 million to Baylor to get rid of him. That was like buying a car or something.
That's a $20 bill to Tepper. I understand it, but – that's the thing with me. Look at the track record of all the college coaches that jump to the NFL. It is more miss than it is hit. It just is. And to give that kind of commitment, why not give the guy 3 years? And if things are working out, then you could throw him six more after that. I didn't see the need for the aggressiveness to give him six or seven years, is what it is, right out of the gate. But it's Tepper's team. He's making a statement. He got the guy that he wanted. And hopefully for him, Rule does a great job down there.
What do you think, Mafia?
I think it's less of a risk than some of these other college guys you're talking about who have no experience in the NFL. Obviously, he has coached in the NFL before, not as a head coach, but he's been there. He's been around, franchises, one of the most successful in the history of the NFL franchise in the Giants. Obviously, not recently because of the last couple coaches, but they do have, two Super Bowls in his last 20 years. He's been around the NFL, so he knows what's going on, how things run. That's different than these guys who have just been there. It's not like he's coming just from Temple and Waco. He has been at the upper levels before, but still, 7 years for $62 million. I know you got to outbid the Giants because he has, that little soft spot in his heart for them, and he's from the city and everything like that, but $9 million a year almost for a guy who has not done it full-time at this level is just insane to me. I mean, you're almost to the numbers of Gruden out in Oakland or, now Las Vegas, but – This guy doesn't win a Super Bowl to give him $9 million a year.
That was the only way, in my view, that they were going to keep him from interviewing with the Giants. And I agree with Paul Schwartz that the Giants and Mara was never going to give that guy 7 years and $60 million.
No, this is insane.
What does he get? 5-year deals at best, right? He's paying all these guys. McAdoo he's paying. Shermer he's paying, right? And so 5 years, what is Judge getting? Does anyone know? I bet it's 5 years. There's no way he's giving that guy 7 years.
I would say max 4.
Yeah,
max.
But I think that the thought of him being cheap for me is a little difficult to absorb. You know, the New York Giants are like any team in New York. You have to admit, when it comes to money, they print money around here. Do they not? The professional teams? All of them. I mean, I guess not so much the, you know, maybe the Islanders aren't giving people that kind of money. Or but the Nets are. They gave Kyrie Irving and KD the entire, they literally gave them the franchise, didn't they? I mean, they both got just absolutely boatloads of money. So I don't want to hear that they're cheap. But, you know, I don't think the Jets or Giants are cheap. Or the Mets or the Yankees. We know the Yankees aren't. They just gave a guy more money than God in Gerrit Cole, right? But do you believe that that the Giants are cheap?
No, I think that the Giants probably looked at it kind of like how I am in going for a guy who has never coached a football game in the NFL. To give him 7 years and $60 million is...
It is imprudent.
...is not something that they're willing to do. I don't think that... You know, I don't even think money was probably the issue, although, once again, paying a guy that much who's never done it either is tough, but the 7 years, it's a big commitment for a guy that, at the end of the day, you don't know yet. You don't know if it's going to work out or not. You never do with any of these guys. They're, all these unproven guys, they never coached in the league before.
Right. So, now let me ask you this question. He's going down there with Cam Newton, still in flux, right? Do you believe that he'll be able to convince, you know, everybody that Cam Newton's the guy, or do you think he'll want some other quarterback? He's got to want Cam Newton, doesn't he?
If he's healthy. He doesn't have to convince anybody. From the sound of it, the front office wants to keep him. He wants to stay there. I mean, the fans, of course, were jumping on the Kyle Allen bandwagon at first and saying, okay, let's
get
rid of Cam. But, you know, the end of that season, they said, wait, can we get Cam back? You know, he's still under contract, right? So I don't think he has to sell anybody. It's the question of, is he selling himself? Is that what he wants? Is that what he sees as the future?
I don't think. I think he'll be the quarterback. So they're set with McCaffrey. I think Cam Newton will come back. It was a Liz Frank, whatever. I think he's going to come back from that. It's not the end of the world. In my view, he's not old. He's not even close to being over the hill. I was more worried about his shoulder than I was his foot, but everybody else seems to think the foot's the real problem with him. I think next year he'll be fine. My guess is that way anyway. And that, do you believe that this guy, let's say, how long do you think it'll take him to get them back on track? Because they really imploded.
I think that if Cam Newton is healthy,
they'll be normal.
They can be win 8-9 games next year. Why not? I don't think that the team was that bad. I think that what Kyle said to you is pretty true. You know, they were in the mix. They were fighting games this year. I mean, you remember they were down on the goal line in Green Bay that one game. They were with a chance to win late in the game in the snow. You know, they played hard for a while, and then when Rivera went out, everybody just kind of laid down after that when Rivera got fired. So I think that there's talent on that football team.
What do you think, Mavi? Do you think they'll win with him, or do you think it's going to take time?
I think they could win. I think this is a team that was one of, you know, a couple of years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. Even last year, they weren't a bad team. You know, they've been around as one of the tougher teams, if not one of the better teams in that division. It's just tough when you play, you know, the Saints every year to win that division. So I think they're still one of the toughest teams in the NFC if they can get healthy, if they can make a few moves to improve the defense. I think they could definitely get back on track with him. You know, as Bailey said, like, they could have done it with Ron Rivera. It's just that they decided, you know what, I think it's time to move on. But if they gave him another year, maybe he bounces back like Harbaugh has in Baltimore.
Wow. So, you know, a lot of people are comparing him, this guy Judge, to John Harbaugh because he was like a special teams coach. Can you go there and start comparing him to people?
Not fair. It's just not fair to do. John Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl. I don't care if he was a special teams coach or whatever. He's a proven coach, gotten it done in the National Football League, and kind of like what...
But when he came in.
Right. But he, from what I read today, he kind of did a lot of the same things that they're talking about with this Joe Judge guy. Andy Reid had Harbaugh as an assistant, and he was kind of letting him in on all the other aspects of the team, not just special teams, to get a feel of everything that was going on. So I don't think it's fair to compare a guy to somebody who's won a Super Bowl until he actually does it. If we could go find a few more guys who jump from special teams to head coach, maybe there's some other comparisons there. But going to the guy who's done it the best and has won a Super Bowl, that's hard for me to do right out of the gate.
So what's your feeling about what Paul Schwartz said about Judge? Are you buying that he's, I had said to him that I don't believe that they won national championships at Alabama or Super Bowls in New England because of Joe Judge.
No, obviously, like you said, special teams can be a very big important part of it. But for me, I need more of an experience at a bigger position. Special teams is important, but offense, defensive coordinators, something like that, I need more of that because you say, okay, well, he's the wide receivers coach this year. Well, that was the worst position group they had, wasn't it? Isn't that the thing that brought them down this year was the wide receivers? And they could say it was just the talent or things like. But I mean, come on, you can't if you're gonna sell me that.
So you don't believe in him?
I'm not gonna buy him as the right hire for them. I'm not gonna completely throw mud on him and say, bury him. This guy has no chance. But when you're coming from two failures at coach, when you have young talent that you need to mold, as the future of your franchise. I think they needed a guy who was much more experienced and around longer than a guy who's been coaching the special teams.
What do you think? Do you think that he's going to be successful? And do you think that he's, be able to handle New York and the media? And it ate McAdoo and Shermer alive. Like, Shermer could even – he couldn't even do a radio interview.
No, and Paul was dead on. I mean, they could find a tree that would have more personality with the media than Shermer did. I mean, it was really bad, especially at the end. I'm going to be interested to see his opening press conference because, nobody has really had an opportunity to hear this guy talk about football. I mean, nobody interviews the – special teams coordinator. Occasionally, you'll hear the offensive or defensive coordinator. Nobody ever hears this guy. This guy is a legit unknown commodity. And I just do believe, like I was saying earlier, that it's a little different than these other guys that has come out of the Belichick tree. Whether
Patricia, McDaniels.
They were known commodities.
Did you think Brian Flores did a good job in Miami? I did.
He did. He did.
I think he did better than McDaniels and better than Patricia.
Right. He did a really nice job this year. That team played hard for him all the way to the end. He still has to obviously get better. He's got to win more than five games, keep doing things like that. But I don't know, man. Something just doesn't seem – and I know the Giants have had a bad track record with these last two guys, but – this guy just coming out of nowhere, sitting around with Saban and Belichick, and I know that he hasn't had a lot to do with them. I get it. Those guys are the reason that those teams win. But sitting in those rooms with those guys, unheard of, for 7 or 8 or 9 years, whatever it is.
It's got to rub
that,
off.
That guy's taking in a lot of information in a different way than guys like Matt Patricia, who is just doing defense, or Josh McDaniels, who's just doing offense. I don't know. I got a feeling... This could, you never know. This could be the guy that actually works out of all the Belichick guys.
There you go. 855-212-4227. I have to start getting my priorities in line here. The Knicks are playing right now, right? Aren't they playing the Lakers?
39-30 right now in the second. Lakers up.
And then the Penguins are playing the Vegas Golden Knights. They're up 3-0 in Sin City. Mafia, didn't you and I go to the Penguin-Vegas game? And didn't Vegas, I think, beat them 5-4 or something like that?
They did, yes.
So now the Penguins are taking it out on the Golden Knights tonight. Maybe I can get those games going. I just watched two college basketball games. I need to get my priorities in line.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I will say I'm surprised that, I know that his name was Hot Rule. I know that he had that Gucci reputation glowing. Everybody wanted him, right? The Giants, et cetera, Carolina, and then they got him. I will say that
Cleveland,
Cleveland
declined.
I mean, everyone at least wanted to talk to him, and you knew he was going to get a job. But I got to tell you, I give him all the credit in the world that he sucked $60 million out of that guy, because there's no way you can tell me that guy's worth that kind of money. There is no way on the face of the earth. Now, I'll believe it when I see it where, you know, let's say, because basically what is it, you know, I think he was saying it's somewhere around $9 million a year.
Yeah, it's somewhere around
so
that.
If he wins 10, 11 games, you know, let's say the year's 3, 4, 5, 6, and he wins like between 9 and 13 games in that window where he's actually winning, you know, let's say 10 to 13 games even in years, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 type thing, because it's a 7-year deal. And he actually earns the money. If he's winning 10 games in year 3 or 4, then I'll say it was worth the money. Anything under 10 wins for $60 million, he fleeced him.
Yeah, and the other thing that was allegedly a really big part of this, aside from the money, and we get it, the money was probably the biggest overlying factor, was that Tepper and the Panthers were willing to let him do this sports science program that he does at Baylor. Bring it to the NFL, bring it to Carolina. So all his charts and graphs and things that he does, big analytics guy, et cetera, et cetera.
Aren't they all doing that now?
That was
McCarthy,
one of the things that he, I guess, told Tepper he wants to do and needs to be able to do there. And, you know, he said, obviously, no problem. If he's giving the guy $60 million, let him do whatever the program he wants to do.
We gave him the keys to the castle. But I just don't think he's worth that kind of money.
Basically, without even coaching an NFL game, moves into fifth place of the highest paid coaches in the NFL, I think. Because he's right under Sean Payton, who makes $9 million a year, and like more than $1 million above Andy Reid, who makes $7.5 million.
Yeah, he's, you know, that is amazing to me that some college coach that was at Temple and Baylor, excuse my French, is making $9 million now in the NFL.
Well, that's the thing.
But that's where we're at. It's 2020. This isn't, 1994.
I mean, he did great things at Temple and Baylor. I understand it. But it's not like he was winning national championships.
No.
It's just...
Right, he wasn't Lincoln Riley in the playoffs the last 2 years.
He just lost his bowl game.
He wasn't Urban Meyer with all his titles that they were talking about.
I thought he did a great job at Baylor, but they didn't. They just played a big game and lost.
Right, I don't know.
Am I wrong? Didn't they just lose their bowl game?
They did. They lost to Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
And they got their ass beat.
Right.
So, here's the deal. He not worth $9 million. I don't care what you say. John Gruden, in my opinion, isn't worth $10 million.
He should not be one of the 10 highest-paid coaches in the NFL.
With what you're paying John Gruden, the results are just simply not there. I mean, the Raiders suck. That's all there is to it. They lost out. Did they not just start losing? They were – listen, I'll give you that they were very competitive for, like, what, 6 weeks? Well, the season's 17 weeks. So he is just fleecing Davis for $10 million. And now, you know, he's going to be living in Red Rocks in a mansion and coaching the Raiders in Vegas. He's not going anywhere. And he's just getting paid just ungodly amounts of money to not produce.
Yeah, he shouldn't be up there in that top echelon of names like, look, and Gruden, say what you want. I mean, he's getting $10 million. He's a name. He's a name and he's coaching
the NFL.
He's
the highest paid guy in the league, but he's not.
Well, Belichick's the highest paid guy in the league. His numbers aren't out there. Belichick's the highest paid coach in the league.
He makes like 12 and a half. Carroll makes like 11.
Right, and Carroll's up there too.
All right, so Gruden's
They don't have to announce. Like they announced,
he's not worth $10 million.
He's not worth $10 million. But Matt Rhule shouldn't be in the same coaching salary discussion as John Gruden, Pete Carroll,
or Andy Reid,
Bill Belichick, or Andy Reid. You know, he shouldn't be there yet. He hasn't coached a game in the NFL
Doug Peterson.
Yet. Okay,
he shouldn't make more than Peterson.
You can make an argument he shouldn't make more than, you know, 25 of the guys in the league.
Do you think he should make more than Bruce Arians?
Probably not. He hasn't done it yet. But this is, you want the hot guy. You want the next thing.
What are they paying Shanahan?
I have no idea. I'm not sure.
Because he got a lot of money to coach the Niners. So do you think he's a better coach than Kyle Shanahan? Because he was the hottest commodity in coaching last year, 2 years ago, wasn't he?
Right, 2 years ago when he got the job.
Was he not the hottest commodity?
Yes, he absolutely was.
You're telling me that this guy is better than him?
Kyle Shanahan was coaching in the NFL.
Right. So there's no way you can tell me that some guy at Baylor is better than him.
I'm always very leery of the college coach going to the NFL.
Right.
I know he coached 1 year with the Giants 10 years ago, whatever. I'm talking about, you know, being a head coach in the National Football League.
Right.
I'm very leery of guys who haven't been OCs or DCs, or are they just, they've been in college forever. The guy's been at Baylor and Temple for a long time now. I don't like taking risks like this, but this guy Tepper's got the money to, you know, risks aren't a big deal to him with the kind of money
so,
that he has.
Tomorrow, Jim Schwartz interviews with Cleveland. Thursday, Kevin Stefanski, the Vikings offensive coordinator. And then Friday, Josh McDaniels. They've already interviewed Bieniemy, Roman, Saleh. They want to have a deal in place by Saturday. I have this weird feeling. Last year, they were close with Stefanski. I'm flipping a coin that it's him, that he's going to steal it. The offensive coordinator of the Vikings that's led this team, allegedly, to its glory this year.
And let's be fair here.
He almost got the job last year.
Let's be fair here. That's going to be a mess for them, especially PR-wise. That's going to be a mess for them. They're going to go with another guy who's never been a head coach. I mean, I get it. There's no other guy. Who are you hiring now? McCarthy's gone. All that. Man.
Do you hire McDaniels?
The Viking offensive coordinator?
Right, but.
Come on.
But do you think that, do you know, they said that last year that he had this, he was literally the choice. And then they gave it to Freddie Kitchens in a swing and a miss.
Yeah, because of the Baker deal
right.
and all that.
But that was a dumb decision. But they really wanted Stefanski. I heard that he was close.
Well, then give him the job then.
Do you think he'll get it, or do you think McDaniels will get it?
I don't think McDaniels is going to go there.
So do you think Schwartz gets it?
No, definitely not.
Hasn't he done a great job in Philly?
He's not getting a job.
So Stefanski the guy? Or do they give it to Bieniemy?
Well, when are they talking to... the guy that they show on the TV a billion times, the 49ers.
Saleh, they already interviewed him.
That was last week when they were on the bye.
They already interviewed him, and if he was so great, they would have hired him. Because
they can't yet, because he's still playing. So they can't hire Saleh till the 49ers are out.
Okay.
So they could still interview all these guys, even if they want to hire
Saleh. And then hire Saleh.
The McDaniels thing is funny, because I just think it's great that with everything that's gone on with him the past couple of years, that, you know, the Giants were supposed to interview him. I don't know if the Panthers ever actually did. I don't think they did. It sounds like they were all locked in on rule. All these jobs he was supposed to interview.
Speaking of cactuses.
Right.
Is he not the personality of a garage door?
I do not believe for one second that Josh McDaniels will take the Cleveland Brown job.
Wow. I guess we'll see. Cleveland, who do you think is going to be your Browns head coach, the next guy to lose 10 games a year? Who's the next guy to lose 10 games a year in Cleveland? Call me, 855-212-4227. I want to hear from you.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, who's ready for the divisional round? PharrellOnTheBench.com sure is. A couple of games Saturday, two more on Sunday. You can't beat it. PharrellOnTheBench.com is all over it. Every day you get football through Miami. Pro and college rack, all the big games, hockey every game, boxing, MMA every big fight, amazing prize, killer results, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. 855-212-4CBS. 4227 is the number to get on the bench. Looks like Mike McCarthy, I'm guessing, is going to keep Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. Is that right?
Well, it sounds like he wants to, but it seems like Moore might have an opportunity to go to Washington and be the OC at the Huskies.
Oh, at the University of Washington.
Yes. So apparently he's mulling that over.
What would you rather do? Be the Cowboys offensive coordinator?
Apparently he's from there. I don't know the deal.
All right.
And it could be a faster track for him. I don't know.
Didn't that kid play at Boise?
Yes. So he's from the Northwest.
All right. The Redskins, did they hire Scott Turner as the offensive coordinator? I think they may have. Anyway, he impressed calling plays as the Panthers' interim OC over the last month. And it looks like a reunion with Rivera there. Pat Shurmur wants an OC job.
Good luck.
You got to be kidding me.
But to be fair, he is an offensive. That's what he should be. He just shouldn't be a head coach ever again. Because when he's been an offensive coordinator, he's done a good job. But that's what he is. Some guys you just have to accept.
So why didn't they do anything offensively with him standing on the sideline? If you're the head coach, forget everybody else. Make the plays. Make the calls.
Because they didn't have an offensive line either season. You had Eli on his last legs and Daniel Jones starting his career.
Bill in Phoenix, by the time I get to racially profiled Arizona.
Hey, man, we're so glad you're here, bro.
Hey, dude, what's happening?
I am a frustrated Browns fan. It's just I have the same feeling I have when they got yanked out of Cleveland and went to Baltimore. This team is misdirected. They got an owner that's lucky he's not in jail, even though, you know, guys with that much money don't go to jail.
Right.
They got a quarterback who's a head case. They don't have a coach. They don't have a general manager.
They've had 12 coaches. Like, literally, I think, what is it, since, I think 2000 or something like that, or 99 or something like that. 12 coaches, including interim coaches. Who cares? They've had so many coaches. It's embarrassing.
Okay, yeah, throw more salt in my wounds there, Scott. Thanks. I appreciate it, my friend.
Listen.
I'm seriously, I mean, when the Browns got yanked out of Cleveland the first time, I watched like maybe 3 NFL games and just focused on my Buckeyes in college football. I'm kind of feeling that same way. Am I the weak person to think that?
No, I think that, you know, it's very frustrating. It's a great sports town, but I think it's very frustrating when I have to listen to that they were literally last summer, they were the hottest ticket in the NFL. They were the number one most bet team to go to the Super Bowl. And all of that to me was laughable. I mean, they don't go to the playoffs and they don't win. They're a loser. So it's amazing to me that people were so stupid and so suckered by the Browns and Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, because that's exactly what happened. People were suckered into believing that those three players and Myles Garrett, et cetera, frankly, 4, maybe 5 guys, you know, you could add Ward, I guess, but to me, the depth just wasn't there. I think that there was, you know, those guys are all solid players. I won't give you a negative reaction to that, but I don't think, you know, Beckham is a showboat is what he is. He has all the talent in the world, but he's more drama than he is results, right? I mean, that's just all there is to it. He's a sideline disaster. He's a cancer. The way he's been with the Giants, he was a cancer. And then he went to Cleveland, and he knew that he couldn't behave that way anymore, right? So he didn't. But then they didn't throw him the ball. And then they finally started throwing the ball to Landry. Now, these two were teammates in college, right? So they were supposed to be this magnificent pair of receivers and take the Browns to the Super Bowl. The Browns didn't even sniff the division or the playoffs. And I thought the coach was a joke. I really did. I mean, I thought he did a terrible job. No offense to him, but honestly, he was terrible. And now he's toast. So here they are starting over again. I just don't know how you can ever be successful in anything at all, in any business at all, let alone sports, if all you ever do is every single 12 months you change everything and you just never have any continuity whatsoever. They literally, I mean, I guess the only continuity they have are their fans. Their fans are their only continuity because the team is an utter shack show. It's like it's a disaster. It's like it's a landfill. That's what it is. Their fans are there's continuity there. They're great fans. They've stood by that crap forever. The first time they were in Cleveland, the second time they were in Cleveland, those fans are true blue through and through, Browns, fanatics, dog pound, all the rest. They're great. You guys are great. Your team's a joke. And they just run it into the ground every year because it's so dysfunctional. Is it not? Like, they have no continuity whatsoever. They have an owner that doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Now, I won't deny the guy's made billions in his businesses, but there's been questionable accounting practices there as well. But look, whatever, they just don't do well. And I think they've got that stigma, Carver High, of a loser. They're just a loser. I don't care what anybody says.
That's exactly true. I mean, that's just it. That is what it is. That's what they've been, and that's what they can't get rid of it. It just doesn't
leave
them.
Do you believe that quarterback is good?
I do.
You do think he's good?
Look, did he have an awful year? Yeah, he had an awful year. Is he still a young player? Yeah, I think that there's still a chance for him to be a good player in this league. I can't throw the guy away off of two seasons of starts. I just can't do
it. I think
he's got enough talent to play.
He's more a celebrity than he is a quarterback.
But that's a problem. Now, look.
All of his beards and shaving and commercials and movies. He's literally on television more than anyone.
Did he need to do every single commercial that ran during NFL games this entire season? Probably not. Does he need to talk to all the fans in the tunnel before the game's coming out and respond to fans on Twitter and do all that stuff? No, he probably doesn't.
Probably.
What do I think that he needs? I think that, unfortunately, they missed this already. I think that they needed somebody established, somebody who has won in this league, to come in and sit this guy down and the rest of that team and say, this is how we're going to do things here. All the things that you've heard about of this franchise in the past, we are throwing them out the door. We start new today. And only person that can go in there and do that is somebody who has won in this league. Not some guy who's been the offensive coordinator of the Vikings for the last couple years or has been the defensive coordinator for the 49ers for two years.
So then who is that person?
He's gone. He's already in Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, he's already gone. All right.
So they blew it.
I think personally.
So no matter
what they get,
they've already blown it. I think they have.
Let me see who they hire.
We'll see. Tony in Vancouver.
Hey, Scotty. Yeah, on the Browns coaching, Seattle, you got these retreads, McDaniels and Schwartz, but there's a guy Seattle had a couple of years ago. His name was Daryl Bevel.
Right.
It was Daryl Bevel that restructured the Seahawk offense to fit Russell Wilson when nobody gave Russell Wilson a chance to make it. It was Daryl Bevel's mindset that did that. It wasn't Pete Carroll. That was because Pete Carroll's a defensive coach. Bevel did that.
Yeah.
And his name came up a few years ago for a coaching job. All of a sudden, he fell off the face of the earth.
Was he the guy that had the great idea not to give Marshawn Lynch the ball at the one-yard line in the Super Bowl?
No, I'm not sure if that's him or not.
That's exactly who he is.
But he's done a good job. And now he's the Lions offensive coordinator right now. I think that if he was so hot of a commodity, he would have interviewed everywhere. But he's not. So I think he's right where he should be, to be honest with you.
He's exactly right where he should be.
Yeah. So there you go. Did you know we're going to war? Did you see all this stuff going on in Iran and in Iraq? Like, they bombed our military.
The bases in Iraq where the U.S. troops are.
Yeah, at least 12 rockets, and they took credit for it and everything else. And then they're saying tonight that obviously it's morning there. They've threatened to attack inside America now if the U.S. responds to those missile attacks. But they've already said as well, I was watching the news tonight, that they're going to do more of it. So they're just getting started with bombing us all over the Middle East. But if we bomb them back, they're coming here to bomb. And so
I've also seen them threaten that allegedly if Iran's bombed at all, they're going to bomb like Israel and the United Arab Emirates and these other countries.
Right. So they're it smells like war, doesn't it? It really does. Like, don't you think this guy in Washington, D.C. is going to bomb them?
Yeah, it depends what his response
is. He already bombed them. He's going to do it again.
He bombed them in Iraq, though, where you have a little say. I think if there's not a lot of casualties here, and like they just hit parts of the base and didn't really kill a bunch of service members, then they're probably going to be like, you know what, let's just...
Yeah, I don't believe for one minute that they tried to land bombs close by to give a warning. I think they want to kill Americans. There's no doubt in my mind. Without a doubt. They hate us. Let's stop with they're just trying to send a message and let the bomb land outside the base so everyone gets a warning shot. I don't believe in that. They're trying to kill Americans. That's what they're trying to do. What do you think, Carver High? No political. Won't go there. Do you think they're trying to send a message, or do you think they're trying to kill Americans?
Look, I think it's a really, really, really
You think gas prices are going up?
Scary time. all over the world.
It is.
So that's what I think.
They actually had a Ukrainian airplane that took off from Tehran actually crashed.
Takeoff
too. Which they're not saying it's involved with that. They're saying it's mechanical failure, but kind of fishy circumstances that happens right after this.
Yeah, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. This is something else.
Right, all these other airlines are diverting from Iranian airspace, just not even flying near it.
Their foreign minister said they're not seeking an escalation of war. Well, what is bombing U.S. airbases? What is that? Is that not an escalation of war? Seriously, I want to know. Does anyone think we're going to war with them? Because I'm feeling it.
Looking that way.
I mean, what do you think this guy down in D.C. is going to just put up with this? He already did it once. You think he's not going to do it again to try to turn it into a political maneuver to win re-election? Go clean house over there? Wow, it's crazy, right? This is crazy stuff. I might have to turn on. Remember we had the weather channel? What did we have? The weather?
The hurricane?
Weather red zone.
Weather red zone. Are we going to have a war red zone going here? We're going to have a little war channel with all the news channels and war and rockets and bombs and explosions and killing? It's craziness.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.